It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Coming to you live from the truly Hard Seltzer Studios here at Fan Run Radio. Guys, it is Friday. I am joined by Matt King, Justin Feist, the man, the myth, the legend himself, and myself, Malcolm Harris, man. And we are here for another Friday edition of Overtime. Fellas, how we doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm ready to get out there nice and early for the game tomorrow. I don't know about you.
Yeah, man. I might be at the crib for this one.
Catch this one on the couch.
Yeah, I might be a couch fan. What's up, Matt?
I'm pretty good. It is a hot one today.
And it's a hot one.
We're going to have to play that one later.
Is it still just brutal going up and down the hills on campus? Do you have a lot of campus to walk, or are yours? So,
for the most part, my schedule works out pretty well. On Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm in McClung Museum twice. So just walk over. So that's not too bad, but that doesn't excuse the fact that it was 96 degrees while I was walking back from
96.
Feels like 96.
Man.
Unacceptable!
That is unacceptable, and you truly hate to see it. And this first segment is sponsored by the good folks at Truly Hard Seltzer. Can you tap that sign one time for me, man? I appreciate that. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 13 varieties to choose from. Bench the beer belly bloat with the light, refreshing taste of Truly. Put it in your game day rotation. Drink what you truly want. Truly Hard Seltzer. Excited, man. We have a lot to cover. Tanner, I know you're wondering where he is at. Of course, it's Friday, so he is out covering Friday Night Lights, man. No Booby Miles, but Friday Night Lights nonetheless. He is in Oliver Springs, and he will be back Monday. Excited to get him back. Talk about a little high school football. Merrill got the dub over Alcoa last night, 17-3. They don't allow a touchdown, and they end Alcoa's 29-game win streak. How we feel about that, fellas?
That's a tough 1-2 punch for head coach Gary Rankin, who got his truck vandalized and then got the shut out with no touchdown, just a field goal there. I saw there was a narrative going from some Merrillville fans that Coach Rankin was trying to ruin the kid's life that taped those pictures on his truck.
Yeah.
And which is kind of funny because he's not like pressing charges or anything. He just wants to pay for the paint or whatever. So, but yeah, it was an interesting game. It seemed like a pretty good game. Overall, but Alcoa just didn't have much offense, I guess.
Didn't have much O at all, man. And that's always one of the biggest games, not only, you know, in this area, but in the state. You know, that is a huge rivalry going back since, you know, I've been in Knoxville for going on 7 years now, and it's always been a great game.
That was probably the biggest high school game in the state this week.
Yeah, probably. Stetson was talking yesterday about, like, the venue of, like, the stadium that Alcoa has, mm-hmm. and I think I went to 2 or 3 games there in high school.
How was it, like, just being there?
It's probably, like, the rowdiest. Like, it felt like the biggest game always because I went to Catholic and then CAK. So, like, those are two good – they were pretty good football teams. And then Alcoa is always good. So, because Coach Rankin's been there for forever.
Well, I'm definitely – loving high school. I just I miss it. I have to get to a high school football game before the end of the season. I need to. I know we're here until about what, 8:30, but we need to do it. Need to do it. Well, going from high school now, let's just jump into tomorrow, man. I know we've been talking, preaching about Chattanooga all week. Guys, what do you want to see? I'll start with you first, Matt, and then I'm gonna go to Justin. Because I know Justin, you know, we talked yesterday a little bit about it, but Matt, what do you want to see tomorrow at noon? What is there to see?
They need to blow out UTC. They they've pretty much lost a lot of the fans, so this game may not matter to a lot of people in that sense. I understand that part, but you need a big win, not just a win, and you need to show the fan base that you are doing everything to move in a positive direction for the rest of the season. I want to see defense running to the ball. They've done that pretty well so far, but I want to see that. I want to see them create a turnover, because other than some really lucky business going on against Georgia State, I haven't really seen a turnover from this defense that would be a highlight, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to see that, and I also want to see more than one quarterback play. And if there is any game to do it, it is against Chattanooga. Free one of the quarterbacks. Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious is right, man. Justin, talk to me, dog. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I also am excited to see maybe more out there. I forget who reported it, but I remember seeing a tweet that said if whoever's source was correct that we'd see a lot of more. Is that how you say his name?
Maurer.
Maurer?
Maurer.
Yeah.
We'll see a lot of Maurer on Saturday, which is good to hear. Hopefully he, you know, earns the right to stay on the field for extended period of time. But I think the most important thing to me is for JG to really command that offense. And I think anything less than two touchdowns in the first quarter is concerning, because then we're going to get into that area at the beginning of the second quarter if we're dragging, and we're just going to drag, probably kick a field goal. So, I mean, I want to see at least 14 points in the first quarter.
I'm right with you. And I know we actually, my dad called me today because, you know, he's from Chattanooga and he lives in Chattanooga. And he said a major part of Chattanooga is dry. And this is, in fact, true, because as reported by the ABC affiliate in Chattanooga, Channel 9, thanks to a break of a 36-inch water main near the Tennessee American Water Plant late Thursday night, approximately 35,000 customers are affected and do not have water. And area businesses and government offices near downtown are closed.
We are screwed, people. I mean, do you understand that?
For sure. We are screwed. I have no idea how this is happening, for one. For two, this is surely going to affect tomorrow's game, at least in the meantime, right?
How do you envision the Chattanooga water shortage? You think some people don't travel? I think people will travel more, you know, come up here, get some Knox water.
I think people are definitely going to come up here because, I mean, you don't have water. You can't cook. You can't wash clothes. I mean, I know, you know, my father didn't go to work today. They shut it down because they couldn't do anything. So, I don't know.
So, like, it's affecting, like, what, 30, like, a third of the city?
They said north and south areas of the city of Chattanooga.
Just whole blocks?
Yeah, so like UTC is being affected by this. And I heard you said UTC had a power outage or something, right?
I heard something about a power outage. I don't know if that was confirmed or not.
Don't let this be like a, all right, the world is against us, let's rally and take it to UTK.
There's rumbles down there at UTC.
Oh, man.
They're coming up here to cause some trouble.
And I know we have predictions, and we can just get these out the way now because we have so much to talk about. Tanner and Stetson, yesterday, they both said that Tennessee would cover, mind you, the line, the overall spread. It's a 28-touchdown-point advantage, University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
28 touchdowns? 28 points.
28 points, not 28 touchdowns.
That would be an awesome game.
That would be great.
I'm taking the over.
No, I'm taking the over too, man. Go ahead, Justin. Let's hear it.
So you said 28 and a half?
Yeah.
I don't think this math is adding up. I have them not covering. I guess I would take UTC. But I have Vols winning 49-24.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to, you know, massacre them, but I think we get close to 50, and I also don't think that our defense is just gonna hold them to absolutely field goals. So
you think we give up 24?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Especially
if we have more turnovers, if we can't take care of the ball on offense, which would be a sad fact to be dealing with against UTC. But
stop right there. The Mocs are not scoring 24 points.
I mean, I hope not, but
their best player is a wide receiver, so they will be, I forget what his name is, but they will be giving him the ball a lot. But I think it's interesting you note that you believe the Vols are going to score over 40 when really the weakness of the team is the offense. I think the defense will make a turnover turn into a score, and that will help their final score. I think they're going to win 48-13, make UTC kick a few field goals. When they're on defense, they're going to drop back into zone coverage, which is JG's weakness. But that means Ty Chandler and Eric Gray will have a field day. Get a score apiece.
This is true.
I hope so.
I hope so. I'm going 40-10 Vols. I do not think we'll get a 50 piece. And I think that UTC does score first. I don't know, guys. I have no clue what to expect from this Tennessee football team. Really, it does revolve around the offense. Like you said, offense is our biggest problem. I want to see Jared Guantano tomorrow just have a flawless first half. I mean, if you make a mistake, I'm going to be kind of upset. Dog, it's UTC, man. It's the SEC. You played in the murals, didn't you? Yeah. Come on, I definitely need him to make a play. And the guy that I want to see do something the most, Nigel Warrior.
I mean, you're not going to.
I know, and that's why I'm so mad. I want Nigel Warrior to play. What did you just say before we walked in here, man? Where was he ranked in his class?
Oh, I don't even remember.
It's like 54th, right?
Really high up compared to how he's been playing.
Guys, if they talk about who his father is one more time on national television, I'm probably going to have a stroke. Seriously, I don't care who this man's father is.
57.
I'm not going to.
So quit asking. Quit telling me who this man's father is. I care about Nigel Dale Warrior Carter. What? I care about Nigel.
57th in the country.
All right, play like it.
Fourth best safety.
Play. Fourth best what?
Safety. Sixth best from the state of Georgia.
And the real Georgia boys come to Tennessee, man. You better stop making this brand look bad. I'm with you. And I talked over the doggone drop. Can you play it again?
Knock on wood if you're with me.
I am with you, Justin. Man, you got me fired up in here, man. Before we cut to break, the Next Door phone group hotline is officially open. Our call-in number is 865-546-8200. Please. Give us a call, man. We're in the studio here again at the Fan Run Radio Studios. Truly Hard Seltzer sponsored until 8 p.m. tonight. We'd love to talk to you. We got so much to cover. Later on, we're actually going to dive into a little college football pick'em next. And we have a bunch of NFL news, of course. I mean, it's week two. Justin and I, we're going to try and be civil because our teams are playing each other this weekend. Yeah. Yeah, we got the 8 p.m.
I didn't know I was playing you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm talking about our actual football teams.
Oh.
Philly and the Falcons.
No, I'm playing Malcolm this week.
Yeah, man. And we got to talk about Scam Newton. We'll be more. Look at me.
We'll be giving you more information on that.
Yes. And we will be back with more overtime right after this. Stay tuned.
College football's here, and MyBookie is the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. With MyBookie, you get real Vegas odds on all the biggest games. And for the NFL, this year MyBookie is hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. Pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of a huge cash prize pool.
Welcome back to Overtime, ladies and gentlemen. This segment of Overtime is going to be brought to you by the great team at KC Kitchen Center in historic Bearden. From the founder of Knoxville Stone Interiors comes a brand new, exciting experience that goes beyond just countertops. Wanting to exercise your creativity and learn how to use a new appliance, create a healthy recipe, or make or take a project for your home? Their creative classroom has you covered. Need space for a meeting, trunk sale, party, or shower? There's plenty of room for rent in their spacious event center. And yes, there's still the same wide selection of countertop options for your kitchen, bathroom, or any other space in your home. Call 865-971-5800 for a free in-home estimate and visit them online at kckitchencenter.com. Check out the newly rebranded KSI at KC Kitchen Center, 5902 Kingston Pike, across from Food City. Showroom hours are 8 to 5, Tuesday through Friday, and convenient Saturday hours from 9 to 2 p.m. 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting.
It's a lot of makeovers.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot, man. And it's kind of like 21 Savage said. How many makeovers you got? A lot.
A lot.
A lot. Oh, man, I'm definitely excited about what we're about to talk about because it's Friday. So you know what we do on Friday, man. It's pick 'em. We actually have a game going on right now. It's a little under 9 minutes. We have North Carolina at Wake Forest.
Oh.
0-0, man. 0-0 there. Who do you have as far as that one? You going 3-0 for the new
Mac Brown
train, or you going Demon Deeks, man?
To be honest, we don't know enough about Wake Forest or UNC to be able to say, oh, I can for sure know who's going to win this game. But I do know that I've been really impressed by what Mac Brown has done so far in their first two games, winning games that they probably shouldn't have, beating South Carolina and then beating Miami. We could turn this game on in a minute, probably.
Nah, we definitely can. Once we hit break, I don't see why not, man. Because, I mean, it's Friday, college football. You got to have it in rotation, man.
But for right now, I'm gonna pick the Tar Heels.
You going Tar Heels?
I really like, what's his name, the quarterback that's just been balling.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely am going Tar Heels. I wanted to go Wake, but again, I just don't know much about them. I really don't, and I like what Mac Brown has done so far with UNC, and I'm definitely looking to see can he springboard his team and his program based off of this momentum. Justin,
what's going on?
We got somebody on the line, big dog.
Yeah, we do.
Who we got on the line, man?
We got my boy Rick James.
Oh, patch him on through, man.
You with us, Rick James?
What's up, fellas?
Rick James.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm just struggling a little bit because my boy Cam Newton got me 11 points on fantasy. He's the quarterback this week.
Hey, man. You're not alone because I'm right with you, man. I started Cam Newton's ass last night, and I ended up shorthanded, man. I did.
I got an alert on my phone from the ESPN Fantasy Football saying, watch out for Cam Newton this week. He's about to go off. You know what? I believe the guys are analysts. It's their job. They go on there and they analyze NFL football. And if they tell me that Cam Newton's going to do well, then I'm going to put him in the game. But he gives me 11 points. I don't know if either the analysts don't know what's going on or Cam Newton just completely shit the bed.
So talk to me, Justin, because you said something out in the lobby that just like made me red in the face almost.
Yeah, so Cam has lost all 8 of his last 8 starts. So he's 0-8.
What's going on with him? Yeah, he's 0-8 in his last 8 starts.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Did you explain to me how they can even say, analysts can even say that he's going to have a good game, but that's what he projected?
Well,
so I'm going strictly off of what they say, because obviously the guys in your position, the guys that analyze on ESPN are going to know more than I do, but he's 0-8 and they're still going to say he's going to do well for me in fantasy?
I think they thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to be really awful and that Cam Newton would have – I mean, I honestly, Malcolm, to your credit, if I had Cam Newton, I probably would have started him. I would not have thought that the Bucs would be able to hold him, but he looked awful last night. He made some throws where he was trying to navigate around the pocket, and he looked bad. He wasn't getting any help from his offensive line. Christian McCaffrey disappeared off the face of the earth. They were trying to feed him, but nothing was working. And Cam Newton ended up throwing 51 passes, and he hit 25 of them.
That's freaking garbage, man. That is terrible.
Yeah, McCaffrey went from 200 all-purpose yards to 50, and he was definitely did not play as much of a role as he did in week one. I bet a lot of people were pissed that had McCaffrey, too.
Well, McCaffrey's a reception guy, too, from what I know, coming out of the backfield, and that should be able to up, you know, his completion percentage, and especially with a guy that, you know, going, like you said, 21 for, what, 50? And having a completion back, you can dump off, like, swing passes to that guy. But still, I mean, that's not even working for him.
Yeah, I think Cam just played like Jameis Winston, and Jameis Winston finally learned how to take a sack instead of panic throwing the ball. So
yeah, that literally is the statement, man. And I know I started Mike Evans as well last night. I'm still not happy. I'm still not happy with Jameis Winston, man. Look for Mike. That's all Johnny did, and he got drafted first round because of it, right? Come on, man. But yeah, what is the problem with Cam? Is he still hurt? Is it still a shoulder issue?
He's not playing like himself, that's for sure.
Was it like his foot that he kind of injured in the preseason that they were worried about?
Yeah, they need to be worried about his wardrobe, though, brother.
Oh. Hey, yeah, Rick, what do you think about him dressing like a fashion icon after a big L's? You there, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just getting paid to be an icon at this point. Not only is he getting paid by NFL, but all the endorsements he's got. No matter if he plays good or bad, I feel he's got to be able to show off all of his endorsements and wear all that stuff, because he's making probably a third of his revenue coming from those endorsements. So regardless if he, you know, plays right, good or bad, he's got to show off for them. But it's also a little bit embarrassing to the program, I feel like.
I'll talk you off this Cam Newton ledge. How do you think UT does against the Mox tomorrow, brother?
Oh, God. The Mox? If we lose to an in-state team that's not Vanderbilt, not saying that losing to Vanderbilt is embarrassing like we've done the past 2 years, but if we lose to an in-state team like UTC, and people are saying we're going to win, I know the spread's 28, but, I mean, we just lost to a 2-10 Georgia State team, so at this point, anything can happen. And if we lose to a UTC team that's FCS, I don't know. It's like I've been a Nashville guy, born and raised UT fan my whole life. I've never seen anything like this, and so I'm not even going to be surprised if we drop that game at this point. I mean, and Pruitt's got to figure out something. I understand, you know, giving guys the opportunity. But if you drop UTC tomorrow, which, like I said, it loses to a Georgia State team that's 2-10, everyone's saying it's almost a guaranteed win. But, I mean, we came into Georgia State week one thinking that there's no doubt that we're going to come in and take care of business. And we got honestly embarrassed. I mean, what, they put up like 35 against us? Who says UTC can't come up and throw up at least 21, 25? 24.
Yeah, I had,
and the way Gordon Thomas playing.
Yeah, I got him scoring like 24, but yeah, low 20s wouldn't surprise me.
I know the UTC's defense isn't good, but it's not like Gordon Thomas been lights out and shown that he could really do that much. I mean, he played well week one, but it's just not coming together collectively as an offense.
Yeah, I feel ya. You got anything else for us, Rick? We got to hit a break real soon.
Man, that's it, man. First time caller, long time listener. I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thanks, Rick.
Appreciate it, Rick, man. Have a good weekend. Yeah, that just kind of depressed
me. Better?
I mean, no, no,
you didn't like getting out the rage.
I did, but it's just like, dog, like you're playing with people's livelihood, man. You're playing, yeah, the Superman.
Yeah,
cut that mess out.
Anybody playing like FanDuel or anything like that with fantasy players?
Like,
you paid money for Cam last night. That's tough.
That's tough, man.
Did you see the after a Bucks player sacked him like the second play in a row, he gets up and just goes.
He was getting hit after hit.
He Superman after
Cam.
A sack?
Yes.
Took
Cam.
A sack?
No. The defender Superman.
Oh. I was like,
no,
what?
Not Cam.
I mean, as a Falcons fan, I'm happy Carolina's 0-2, but just I wanted them to get that game last night for fantasy purposes, man. Let's just hop in these. This is the worst week of college football we've had up until this point. We agree?
Well, I mean, other than week zero, but that's not a real thing.
Yeah. So, USC at BYU. Goodness gracious, man.
Go Cougs.
You going Cougs?
No, USC really impressed me last week, starting a true freshman and dominating a solid Stanford team. I think Stanford probably wasn't top 25, maybe a little overrated, but they dominated them.
Yeah.
And so they'll go on the road to a really overrated atmosphere. They'll probably trounce the Cougars.
Give me Southern Cal as well. I think that they get the job done. I think they got too much speed on the perimeter. And we took advantage of that. We just didn't get the ball to those guys that we had on the perimeter. So give me USC by 2 touchdowns.
Sorry, what are we talking about? I was dealing with some other stuff back there.
Oh, you're good, bro. I should have tossed it to you. USC at BYU.
Okay. This is Southern Cal, USC.
Yeah.
And y'all took USC?
We both did.
Yeah. Have they been looking good lately?
I mean, they got a true freshman quarterback.
They're currently
Cal.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take USC then and just hope that makes us look good somehow for taking a loss to BYU.
Well, no, it will make us look worse because I think they're going to embarrass BYU.
Really?
I think BYU got exposed week one and Tennessee just did not
capitalize on the. I'm telling you, man, their corners are not good. And we saw, first and foremost, we just did not put the ball in position. Got three more games before we cut the break. You just mentioned Stanford. Does David Shaw right the ship again at UCF?
UCF hasn't lost a home game in quite a few years. And Josh Heupel, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Has got him going. So I think the Knights, I hate UCF, but I think they'll take the W tonight.
I'm going with the self-proclaimed national champs of 2017, going UCF big, man.
I'm going to be a contrarian and take Stanford.
Okay.
I don't really have any analysis for it.
It's all good. I'm telling you, this
I'm
is
going
the,
with the big trees.
The
isn't,
worst.
That, isn't that their mascot, a big tree?
The big tree, yeah. Cardinal.
Well, they are the Cardinals.
But like I don't know how that.
Yeah, about to look that up.
Let's get to SEC play. We got those Gators at University of Kentucky. Quarterback Terry Wilson is officially out for the year. Is he out for the year? Is he?
Yes.
Yes. So he's officially out
he
for
had
the
a
year.
Knee injury.
Okay. I am going with Felipe Franks. I think he lights it up this week. I know that Tony is out, but I think that he distributes the ball well and gets the job done on the road before he heads home next week and ultimately has a 500-yard game.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Kentucky actually had some guys recently, some transfers, get eligible on their defense. So I think they actually do a little bit to stop Franks. But their offense is trash.
Yeah.
They're going to get stomped by the Florida front seven. And as Florida's not DBU, but their corners are going to come up with a pick or two against the Troy transfer quarterback for Kentucky.
There's a linebacker that just became eligible, too.
Yeah, he transferred from Georgia.
Okay.
Alabama. Someplace that's pretty good. And they had a corner get eligible, too. Former four-star.
Nice. Nice. UK, look at y'all, man.
I'm going to take the Wildcats.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean, it probably doesn't make much sense on paper, but I'm a big fan of Cash Daniel, the linebacker for the Kentucky. And he had 84 tackles last year. He's been tearing up off opposing offenses, and I'm going to root for a Florida L. So,
okay.
But I guess that would make them mad for our game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like,
I hope Kentucky's defense just wears down that Florida O-line.
Man. Just
that would be good
down.
To see. Like, if they just get hammered this week, maybe they'll just be flat next week.
Last game before we head to break, we have FSU at Virginia. Who are we going with?
Cavs, big. Florida State is in desperate need for a win, but they're not going to cut it. Virginia has a pretty solid, I would almost say elite defense, and Bryce Perkins is going to do what it takes against a sloppy Florida State defense to get the win.
I can't give Florida State credit for anything right now. They're kind of in the same position we are, so I'm going to take Virginia.
Not so fast, my friends.
Oh.
Going upset city, man. I think Cam Akers introduces his name to, again, not the casual college football fan, but to the ones that really understand. They know Cam Akers is about that action.
He's good.
Fans are about to see that Cam Akers is about that action. I have... I'm going 38-35 FSU.
So you're trusting Florida State's offensive line.
Man, I know I've been trashing them all week, but the world has been trashing them all week. I know that's bulletin board material, and Cam Akers is like, I came here for a reason, make it happen. Before we hit the break, man, the Nextdoor Home Group hotline is officially open. Eli Quorum and the Nextdoor Home Group, they are in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. They are very straightforward. Get the job done with money left in your pocket. Fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Has a top-notch team, most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry, negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market. Give them a call at 865-233-9461 or visit them online at nextdoorhomes.com. Our call-in number is 865-546-8200. If you want to give us a call, like we said earlier in the program, we will be on here until about 8 p.m. Going to cut on some college football during the break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking football, but we're also going to be talking clowns. Isn't that right?
A little bit.
A little bit.
We might have an update of some kind.
0 days without a... Oh man, you guys are crazy for real. We will be back with more overtime right after this. Welcome back to Overtime. We are about to dive into a little NFL news. But before we do that, college football is here, and MyBookie is the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. With MyBookie, you get real Vegas odds on all the biggest games. And don't forget about the NFL. This year, MyBookie is hosting the online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least 100K. That's a lot of moolah, man. I need that. I need that.
That'd be nice.
Only cost $100 to enter. Pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Double your deposit with the promo code Knoxville. That's promo code Knoxville at MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. Man, like I said, we got some football on. UNC, that's a penalty. Sorry, it was a kicker got ran into.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, you got to pick that punt up, too. Friendly bounce at the round of 25-yard line. So Wake Forest is now up 7-0 against North Carolina. So my pick does not look good already. But it's early. It's early.
Oh, and to clarify what we were talking about earlier with Stanford, I had to look it up. So they say the mascot. There is no official mascot at Stanford University. The, quote, tree is a member of the Stanford Band, which I didn't know that.
I know that.
And it is representative of El Palo Alto, the redwood tree, which is the logo of the city of Palo Alto. Still the ugliest mascot in sports, I'd say.
I mean, I can think of one more, you know, I'd say mascot. It's not of college, though. Was it a catch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This receiver, like, he didn't even have to go up for that. He just baptized the DB.
Let's see this, man. So
the quarterback steps back and just heaves it. And this man, with ease.
Oh, that's a little Boyd right there, one-on-one. That's. Anyway, before I got interrupted by such a beautiful catch, I was saying, to your point, man, I can't think of a mascot in the college ranks that's as goofy as the Cardinal, the tree for Stanford. Mm-hmm. I can think of one in the NFL, though.
What?
The New England Clowns, man. The New England Clowns, man. We got any AB updates, brother?
That's a clown question, bro. Of course we do, Malcolm.
Talk to me, man. Talk to me. What is up with AB right
so
now?
So today, I guess it became known that AB would not be on the commissioner's exempt list, so he can play Sunday versus Miami. Some people were speculating that, given the situation, he might be not allowed to play by the commissioner to be on that special list, but he is not on it, so he can play. I believe that the NFL's meeting with his accuser is... The NFL's meeting AB's accuser after the game. It's like later on next week. So he is probable to play Sunday versus Miami. And also, a little extra story, Zenith, the helmet company that he ended up signing an endorsement deal with for ditching Shutt like that, he got some money from them and advertised their helmet all over Hard Knocks. And Zenith just ended that relationship with Antonio Brown, so that was a brief business deal that they had. But I guess given the nature of the recent accusations, they decided to part ways with AB.
Lasted about, what, 2 weeks?
If that.
Man, I think AB has some, like, FBI agent outside or something, because our Wi-Fi just got knocked out as soon as we started talking about this clown, man.
Got shooters.
Dadgummit.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear yesterday? I was watching the debate, man, and somebody used the term "dadgummit."
Who was it?
I think it was Cory Booker.
Really?
Yeah. And, he was like, "I grew up in a rough neighborhood," and he dropped that afterwards.
He dropped the dadgummit.
And I'm like, "Come on, man, you're contradicting yourself." But man, I'm looking forward to seeing AB on Sunday, just as a football fan, you know. But I do not know what this holds as far as what exactly, you know, is Antonio Brown going to be able to focus on the distractions and make sure that, you know, as far as Antonio Brown, is he going to be able to play just football? That's what I'm going to ask.
I don't even know at this point, because when you establish yourself as just a football player, your personality begins to show up, right? Yeah. Like, that was the whole thing with LeBron, saying, you know, I'm more than just a basketball player. And I agree. But when you become so in the news for being good, you're going to be in the news for who you are as well. And if you want to make a name for yourself on likely the Super Bowl contenders, the Super Bowl winning team contenders, your personality is very much in the forefront. And for him, after going through all this news, there's no way you can see him as just a football player.
No, I don't. And he's just so talented. But you cannot dismiss that, you know, the commotion in Oakland was one thing. But now that you bring this storm that has, you know, followed you, and I believe his stepdad has now spoken out about Antonio Brown and is now leaking information. So now it's just like a lot going on with AB. But if he has 200 yards, I hate to say it, but this is just a cold reality we live in. People probably won't be talking this much about the commotions outside, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like unless there's a major development or something happens in the NFL's meeting with his accuser, unfortunately, the world we live in, if he has some amazing play, that's going to be the main storyline. And unless something bigger happens, this will probably his play will probably dominate the storylines more, as long as he can get himself on the field.
Yeah. You're right, man. You are right. And he's actually changing numbers. So 84 is no longer his primary number. He's rocking the 17 as a tribute to his father, who was in the Arena Football League. So that, I guess, is cool, but I just want to see Antonio Brown be a good person before anything else. That's all I care about.
I'm not holding my breath.
It's hard to, man. From wide receiver to cornerback, let's go down. You know, I know the Patriots are facing the Miami Dolphins this weekend. I'm starting Tom Brady, by the way, in my other league.
I am too.
I have Pat Mahomes, and I have Tom Brady, and I love Pat. I love Pat, and I know he's going to do some great things.
He did get a little banged up last week, too.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm nervous because in the league I'm playing for a couple bucks in with my friends, he's my QB1.
And yeah.
The drop-off is huge between whoever my backup is. Honestly, I can't remember. But, yeah, he got a little banged up. What did he do, like bruise his ankle or
something?
Yeah,
I mean, it was on a freak play, too. I was watching the game versus the Jags, and apparently he just got a little tied up. Got a little tied up, and it was like an ankle freak accident. Yeah. But he looks okay, but he was hobbling for sure.
He played the rest of the game, and he had like 30-something points. So, I mean, hopefully he stays healthy. I would be heartbroken if I lost my QB1.
Me too. I got Travis Kelce, so hopefully by starting Brady, he'll look for Kelce too because of that no-look pass he missed being cute out there. But back to the Dolphins, man. Minka Fitzpatrick, I want out. I'm not going to be here. He said, I'm not down for tanking, and I'm seeing, I'm not Chris Broussard, but my sources are telling me, Justin, your Philadelphia Eagles are in the driver's seat to land Minka.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I'm bad with keeping up with my own teams. Yeah. Well, that would be awesome.
There's a glaring need.
I mean, I don't blame him for trying to leave. I would hate to be on a team that you know is trying to tank for the draft or just because – you know, for whatever reason, but I mean, I feel him and I hope we get him. That's cool.
100%, man. 100%. And last thing before we go to break, another wide receiver, OBJ, says Greg Williams teaches cheap shots. And Williams defended himself today, said that you guys are kind of feeding into the spectacle that is Odell Beckham Jr. as the media. Just don't give him attention and he'll stop talking. But Williams is not completely clean of this, as we know, Bountygate with the Saints. I mean, he is known around the league to be this. Thoughts?
He's a heavy hitter, and he likes to hit. At one point, he got paid to hit, or however Bountygate worked. So he's got that rep around him, but I also see where he's coming from. It's easy. I mean, pretty much anything critical OBJ says of any player is going to get traction and storyline, so he does have a point, but he's also not really in a position to try to dodge these accusations. So
I don't even know who to believe at this point.
Well, I mean, Greg Williams definitely does I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure there's stuff going on from both sides, but I don't know. I'm not discrediting Odell as a person, but I don't know if everything he's saying is 100% true. But I think these accusations do probably have some merit.
I mean, Odell's career could have been derailed 2 years ago once he had that hit on his ankle, and that was a Greg Williams coach defense. So there might be some animosity there, but I also do know, if you look at that Brett Favre's final championship hoorah with the Vikings, you remember that? And the Saints, they were trying to hurt this man. You could visibly see that Brett Favre wasn't okay. So it's mixed on both sides. And you can call in and let us know what you think. We'll be here a little over an hour and some change. 865-546-8200. Again, the Next Door phone hotline is 865-546-8200. When we get back, we're going to dive into Pick'em, a couple of games. And then from there, we'll come back at the 7 o'clock hour and finish up Pick'em. And then get into a little NBA news. Got some great, when I say it's not as good as yesterday, but it's about a 9. Great birthdays, as well as some last-minute things in the 745 segment. So we'll get right back. Welcome back. Welcome back to Overtime. It is now 6:53, and I was going to dive in to Pick'em, but that's a huge topic to discuss, and we'll be under duress for about 3 minutes. So let's shift topics, man. Recently on Twitter, Dr. Chris Nowinski talked to Gronk today. Gronk apparently had a controversial statement about CTE, and you know, we were talking about football, and Antonio Brown has, you know, had a couple hits that might have led to this. Yeah. Other guys, I mean, it is apparent that CTE is now at the forefront of the NFL. The doctor said on Twitter, "I appreciate and respect that you have the guts to talk about concussions and CTE, but right now CTE cannot be fixed. I invite your help in changing that." Rob, it is fixable. I fixed mine. There are plenty of methods in this world that allow the brain to recover from severe damage. That is also why I would allow my kid to play football.
What kind of methods you think he's talking about?
Yeah, I figured you had that one ready to go.
I figured you had that in the chamber, and I am so happy you did, because I definitely think, you know, the CBD, whatever. Yeah, he definitely has rehabilitated. So,
I mean, do you think you can't really fix CTE? I saw a lot of people were being, I mean, it's not really critical to say you can't just like fix quote unquote CTE, like Gronk suggested. But I think he's also right in saying there are certain things that the NFL frowns upon that can help or potentially help with brain injuries. I'm not a scientist, but Gronk's getting into CBD, and there are other things that NFL players like to partake in, so.
I mean, he said he has had over 20 concussions in his playing career.
That's insane. What did he say, like 8 blackout concussions? Yeah. Just gone?
Like, you know how scary that is to black out that many times and not know where you're at? That means for you to be unconscious
just
for a split second.
Just woken up, and it was a new day. That's...
I know we're
not
about
what
to,
you want.
We're about to get into these games after the break, but that is a scary, scary place to be. And hopefully, I mean, obviously, Gronk to me is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Would y'all agree?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So he'll be at the forefront of this movement.
Yeah, I think this definitely slows down the hype train as far as if he's going to come back and play.
For sure.
Now that he admitted how many concussions he had and is kind of engaged in this kind of post-play behavior, I guess. Not that it's bad, but just like the way he's acting makes it seem like he's probably not coming back despite whatever eye emojis he tweets.
Man, I'm waiting on the waiver wire as we speak. Because if Rob does come back, I'm going to pick him up just because he is that good.
Yeah.
But who knows, man. Hey, when we get back, though, we got some Pick'em to take care of. And like I said, we're going to talk a little NBA. Birthdays are going to be humongous. I hope you guys are ready, because I am ready to see who takes the Friday Night Lights. For Justin King.
Whoa, that's not my name.
I combine the two together because I'm an idiot. That's what I do. For Justin Feist, Matt King, and myself, Malcolm Harris, this has been Overtime Hour 1. We will be back with more Overtime right after this.